Well, we have some guests with us. Eric and Mandy Cooper are with us today. So looking forward to this day. They're actually from Indianapolis. How about that? So they didn't have to drive too far. They were looking for more leg effect snow and some colder weather, so they decided to come up here for the weekend. But had just some great fellowship with them. I've known them from afar for years, but great time of fellowship around the Essen House buffet last night. Had a great time of fellowship with them and hearing their heart and sharing stories. And ultimately today, there's an organization called Project Rescue that Eric's going to tell you about. And the whole heart of it is this, is we want to see ladies specifically, but even boys, but in all over, not just overseas. Yes, even here in our own country, there's those that are struggling in the whole slave thing. I mean, this isn't anything new to you, even sexual slavery or even just the slave trade. All of this, it's happening in our world. And we believe the answer isn't just get them out of that situation. The answer is get them out and give them Jesus and get them plugged into a local church. Help them see true freedom only can come through Jesus Christ. And so I want him to come share with us this morning. Come on up here, Eric. Let's give him a hand as he comes to share with us this morning.
Thanks, Pastor. Bless you, man. Well, good morning to all of you. It's an honor to be here with you guys today. And yeah, we were kind of wondering, when I woke up this morning, it was 1 degree. And, you know, we are from Indianapolis. I told Mandy yesterday, why are we driving north? You know, we should be driving south. Tomorrow we get on a plane to fly to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I think the high is like 12 below this week. So I'm not sure why we keep going north instead of south. But then I got here and I got to worship with you guys today. You raise the temperature, all right? You raise the temperature here in Middlebury. So it really is an honor for me to be here with you today and really to make much of Jesus. We've already done that, but I just love gathering with God's people and making much of the Lord, and that's what we're going to do here today. So I'm going to attempt to do that through, as your pastor has already said, through the lens of a ministry called Project Rescue. But before I dive in, I want to give you a little context about who I am and why David and Beth Grant and Jonathan and Jennifer Barrett have trusted me to be here sharing this with you today. So I do not work for Project Rescue. I am actually the president of an organization that supports Project Rescue. I spent about a dozen years in full-time ministry, and after I did that, I've now transitioned. I have the honor of leading two faith-based, marketplace-focused nonprofit ministry organizations. I'm the vice president, actually, of CRF Affordable Housing. So by day, we run a real estate company. We own, manage, and construct affordable housing and now assisted living services for lower-income people all over the state of Indiana. The housing company was founded almost 30 years ago now by my father, by a real estate developer friend of ours, and by the retiring pastor of our church. And really, it was to create and sustain affordable housing for our local communities, but ultimately, it was to raise money for missions. And since day one, half of every dollar that we make goes back into building the business. The other half goes right out the door to global missions organizations like Project Rescue. And we do that through our second organization, which is called the Stone Table. And really, the goal of the Stone Table is to mobilize the marketplace for the mission of God in the world. And so I want to encourage all of you who are marketplace believers today. You know, it's not just the money you make. It is the money you make, okay? But it's not just the money you make. It's who you are, how God wired you, and the work itself that matters to the kingdom of God in and around the world. And so we partner with local churches, with businesses to leverage all of our missions donor dollars. We love to encourage marketplace believers in their everyday work. And then we get to do things like this today. We get to gather and tell the stories of amazing, God-honoring, gospel-centered ministries like Project Rescue. So that's why I'm here today. I'm here as a representative of Project Rescue, but I'm really ultimately a supporter. So over the last 3 years, the Stone Table has been honored. We've been able to invest almost $500,000 into Project Rescue. And those dollars, alongside our partner churches, alongside our partner businesses, have helped generate, those seed dollars have helped generate over $4 million for this vital ministry that you're going to learn more about today. So when I stand up here and talk to you about Project Rescue, I'm not asking you today to give to me. I'm actually asking for you to get on board and give with me and with our organization. And that's really the joy of what we get to do through our missions work at the Stone Table. So I've been blessed to see the work of Project Rescue firsthand, to really see this Christ-centered transformation that happens in the lives of hundreds of women and children across the globe. And so I want to point us to Jesus today through that lens. Can we do that? All right. So let me pray, and then we're going to watch a short video, and then we'll see where the Lord wants to take this today. All right. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence that we've already experienced here today at Pathway Church, Lord, here in northern Indiana. And God, we know that where you are worshiped, your presence dwells. And so God, that's what we're asking today. So Lord, as we share about this vital, life-giving, Christ-centered ministry called Project Rescue, Lord, may you be glorified. May you be glorified through the stories we share. And may our hearts be moved with compassion to engage the gospel through Project Rescue. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Watch the screens.
Sexual exploitation has been with us for thousands of years. Globalization has only escalated this horrendous evil.
We are now at a point in the world where every single nation is involved in some way with sex trafficking of women and children.
The Spanish police say that 90% of the people who are arriving on boats as refugees from Africa are actually victims of human trafficking.
500,000 is estimated number of women that come in annually are trafficked into Europe and forced into prostitution.
Every tourist spot in the world has a dark side people don't see.
So our world is the dark places where most people have given up. Our goal is through Jesus to reach out to the whole system where you transform people's lives and give them hope and bring about a revolution of justice. People say to us, does Project Rescue do raids? We say, no, we do relationships. A raid, you only do one time. But a relationship is that you go into the brothels, you establish Bible studies, you go in and establish prayer and show them there's a way out.
If we just take a woman physically out of the brothel to a safe place, that's only the beginning of rescue. Until she is free, body, mind, and spirit, to make new choices, to become the woman of God she was created to be, the job's only half done.
Life-changing aftercare is the most intense part of the healing process. It requires medical, physical, and emotional support, as well as education and vocational training. But these are not enough. Prostituted women and children need spiritual freedom and a new identity that can only come through Jesus Christ.
You don't go to the core issue, and if Christ doesn't come in and heal that woman's soul, then she's going to go back.
When we first interview a woman that's in that situation, she doesn't have any self-worth. She can't even lift up her head and look at you in the eyes.
I felt a sense of urgency that I need to move there like my daughters. I'm not going to wait for anybody else to decide or have a meeting.
In the scripture it says, if any woman, man, child be in Christ, they're a new creation. So that promise isn't just about, okay, we're going to get you into a better place. Over time, as she experiences God's truth about herself, you're not a prostitute. No, you're a daughter of God.
Project Rescue, Hope starts here.
So my first personal in-person exposure to the work of Project Rescue was just 18 short months ago, which in COVID time seems like about 10 years. But I've had the blessing of traveling internationally pretty extensively with our work, but India was one area of the globe I had never been to. So I was on a whirlwind tour with a group of friends, some pastors and businessmen, to see the work of this incredible Christ-centered ministry called Project Rescue that is rescuing young girls from the evils of sexual slavery and sex trafficking. So our week on the ground there, it really kind of left my head spinning and my emotions reeling, but it also filled me with hope. So there are so many stories, and I'm going to share quite a few of them with you today, but one moment of this trip that I cannot fold up neatly and set aside is what I want to open with today. See, one of the key relationship-building and trust-building ministries of Project Rescue is to hold church services for women actually in the red light district. So we attended a worship service at a little church located right in one of the largest brothels in Mumbai, India. Once a week, the brothel owners allow the women a two-hour break from their work to attend a church service. As I stood in the back of the room, I wasn't quite sure what to do with all my emotions as I watched the church sanctuary begin to fill up with dozens of young women trapped in the prostitution industry. I had a hard time not seeing the faces of my own daughters in theirs. But then a worship celebration broke loose, not unlike what we had right here this morning. These women that are trapped in the horrors of the sex industry began to raise their voices in passionate praise to God. And this grainy picture that you see on your screen here actually hangs on the wall in my office because I never want to forget this moment. These girls, these women, they sang loudly in their native language, "Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord." I dare you to try singing those lyrics in that place with those women without weeping. I was an emotional mess, as were the dozen or so grown men that I was traveling with. See, these beautiful women, these image bearers of God Almighty, they literally walked out of the brothel from forcibly serving the perverted gratification of man after man. And they walked into this life-giving worship gathering. And for 2 hours, they sang and they danced and they wept and they prayed and they listened to the life-giving hope of Jesus being preached. And then they returned to their perverted customers under the watchful imprisoning oversight of their local pimps and madams. You see, physically rescuing these girls is far from simple, regardless of what you might have heard. So these women are as much psychologically as physically imprisoned by a false and constantly growing debt that they can never pay off, threats to their family and their children if they try to leave. But there's one thing I can assure you, the tangible presence of Jesus is in the vilest and darkest sin-broken places in the world. See, Jesus is all about rescue. Look at Galatians 1, 4, and 5. It says, "Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live." As I left that church gathering, my head was spinning, my theology was challenged a bit, but I knew one thing for sure, a gospel that reaches into a brothel, that brings hope and light and healing and rescue into one of the darkest places I have ever been, to women trapped in the evils of sexual exploitation. That's a gospel for me. And that's a gospel for you too. So I'm gonna share a lot of real life stories today, stories of rescued women and children, many of who I met personally when I was there, whose beautiful eyes I have looked into and seen the resurrection power of Jesus at work. But before we get there, I want to zoom out for a minute. I want to talk about the injustice of sex trafficking itself and how Project Rescue really approaches the vital work that they're doing. I want to frame this up a little, all right? So how big of a problem is this really? Your pastor's referred to it already. How big is it really? Most statistics are low. as no country really wants to admit the massive scope of this horror under its watch. But according to the International Labor Organization estimates, human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. This number is a few years old. Project Rescue actually believes it's closer to $225 billion, billion with a B. To put that into context, the money generated by human trafficking is more than the profits of Apple, Microsoft, and Google combined. Statistically, 10,958 men, women, and children will be trafficked and sexually exploited today alone. Nearly 500 will be trafficked and exploited from the time I start this message until the time I finish. So I'm a huge football fan, and I know this is a dangerous thing to bring up here in Notre Dame country, okay? But the largest football stadium in the United States is at the University of Michigan. Pastor, I'm going to let you handle that, okay? It's called the Big House. The Big House holds 107,000 people. Each year, there are enough victims of sex trafficking and exploitation to fill the Big House 37 times over. More than 4 million are trafficked annually, though Project Rescue believes that number is quite low. In India alone, Project Rescue believes over 1.25 million are trafficked each year. So how do women get trafficked in the first place? Traffickers who have been arrested have been asked how they spot their victims, how they pick them out. And many say, I look for the weak. I look for those who the world won't miss. The ones that don't matter. But we know every one of these image bearers matters to their Heavenly Father. Every girl has a different story, but the traffickers, they hone in, and they're experts in exploitation. They look for vulnerability and instability in the life of a young girl. They promise to help her financially by offering her a respectable job in a new city. Girls who come from impoverished communities or find themselves in difficult situations are enticed by the hope of new opportunity and new life. Some of them just want to help their families. But once they get where the traffickers are taking them, the rug is pulled out. They're intimidated, and they're often beaten into submission. And then they're told that they owe a debt for their travel and living expenses, a debt that constantly grows and can never be repaid. A promise of a job filled with hope and promise turns into the nightmare of forced prostitution, and most of these girls will never be heard from again. Even harder to understand, some of these girls are sold to traffickers by their own families, or in some cases, trafficked by their own families, sometimes out of financial need, other times, as we'll see later, because the culture has convinced them that this is the way. So how does Project Rescue actually rescue these women? So you've probably heard stories of raiding brothels and buying women out of slavery, but Project Rescue works mainly through building relationships. So these women have been psychologically as well as physically abused. They're told they owe these massive debts, that their families and children will be killed if they try to leave. And so through long-term presence and long-term relationships, Project Rescue offers hope, truth, and begins working with these women to navigate their way out of slavery. So what happens after they're rescued? After a woman is rescued from the brothel, she's taken to a Project Rescue aftercare home where she receives medical care, counseling, literacy, and vocational training, because they have to find a new way to support themselves, and most importantly, the transformational message of Jesus Christ. These women can stay in the aftercare facility as long as necessary. Some leave faster than others, but all leave with a new family, with a new community, with a new vocation, and with new hope for life beyond sexual exploitation. Some graduates have even gone on to become successful entrepreneurs. Some of the stories are just incredible. Many continue to work with the ministry in helping the women to escape bondage. So I want to share just a few of their stories with you this morning, okay? Stories of hope and freedom, of rescue. And I want you to know, for every story I share with you today, there are dozens and dozens more. So as I already mentioned, 18 months ago, I traveled with a team of pastors and businessmen, and we went to India, and we were introduced in person to the work of Project Rescue. So we walked through the red light district in Mumbai, an area where there are over 10,000 women in sexual slavery. It was absolutely heartbreaking. There's really no way to actually describe it. We walked through the narrow alleys with the Project Rescue Director. I could stretch my arms out and I could touch the tiny cubicle homes on each side. We kind of had to duck our heads to avoid the rusted metal roofs. See, women and their children live in tiny 4x8 cubicles where they're also forced to service 10 to 15 customers every day. The life expectancy in this area is 28 years old. So then we arrived at a medical clinic. For almost 2 hours, women and their children made their way to that building for prayer. The doctor told us, they saw you walking with the man of God, and so they know that you are men of God too, and that you would pray with them. As I shared already, we attended the Red Light District Church, a service for women and their children who had been trafficked. Their madams and their pimps, they give them 2 hours free for church each week. But it was some of the most powerful, passionate, authentic worship I've ever experienced. After singing some slower songs, they quickly moved into songs of celebration and dancing before the Lord with joy. I cannot dance, but my 75-year-old father was there with me. I think we may have a video. We don't have the video. Well, if we had a video, it would be awesome, all right? Of my father dancing with these young girls. He danced for about 30 minutes. He and all the other guys were soaked through with sweat. I literally thought we were going to have to call for medical help. But it was so convicting. Guys, it was so convicting because they worship with a joy and an excitement, even knowing what waits for them after church is over. They may be captives, but they have freedom in Jesus. After our time of worship and dancing, just before my brother-in-law David preached, a choir sang, and I don't think we have this video for you either, but it was a choir of girls who had been rescued out of sexual slavery through the work of Project Rescue. And they sang the Chris Tomlin update to Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. And I've sung that song a lot over the last 12 years since Chris Tomlin updated it. But these girls, they were singing about literal chains. Their chains are gone. The next day, we visited one of Project Rescue's many elementary schools where children both live and study. And whether they were sold for sex or children born in brothels, 100% of these kids that you see in this picture are victims of trafficking. The school is an absolute showplace with high academic standards and beautiful facilities. In fact, I was telling your pastor last night at dinner, even those outside of the ministry are trying to figure out how to get their kids into the ministry because the school is so impactful. High academic standards. The facilities are immaculate. In fact, the school's developed a reputation that the upper caste families and dignitaries are sending their own kids to the brothel schools, or wanting to send their own kids to the brothel schools. This particular school features a unique partnership. The folks at Hard Rock Cafe, you heard of Hard Rock Cafe? They heard about Project Rescue and they helped fund an entire floor of musical instruments in classrooms, and we call it the Hard Rock Cafe School of Music. We visited a place called Ashgram. It's the very first Project Rescue home. It's a safe home for women and girls and a place where women are taught job skills so they can one day be on their own. They make jewelry, they make rugs, they make scarves, they sew beautiful clothing. We bought all of their stuff. We just bought them out. We bought the whole store out that day. And while we were there, we visited with many of the girls that have been rescued. And again, I could tell their stories all day. This next picture, these 9 girls. All of these girls were given to a Project Rescue home after a government raid of a local brothel. When the girls first entered the home, they were 11 and 12 years old, and the local government official that was there, he visited the home with the young women when they first entered. He expressed concern that they were just, they're too far gone. They were hopeless. They were illiterate, and he actually referred to them as animals. And for these girls, it was sometimes 2 steps forward and 1 step back, but God began to do a transformational resurrection work in these girls' lives. And about 7 years later, the local official came back again to see how the girls were doing, and he was blown away. He was blown away at their progress. He could not believe that these were the same girls. In 2015, all these young women graduated from college. Two of them are now helping lead the home that rescued them. These two precious little girls in the next photo, I'll call them Karima and Mohit. Karima was born HIV positive. Her mother was a prostituted woman working in a brothel in Bombay. The Project Rescue staff in Bombay was able to secure her release when she was just a baby, since the girl's mother was dying and there was no one to care for her. So Karima almost died herself a couple of times from her own HIV infection. And at one point, when Karima was just a toddler, the Project Rescue leader was with her in the hospital as she bled from her gums, her nose, and her mouth. Her immune system was completely crashing and a bacterial infection was setting in. So the church gathered and had a special time of intercessory prayer on Karima's behalf. Even though the doctors said that the girl's situation was hopeless, that she would soon die, the church never gave up praying. And overnight, when the child's condition seemed utterly hopeless, her vital signs began to strengthen. The bleeding ceased and her immune system suddenly came alive despite the prolific HIV infection. Karima survived childhood through a combination of miraculous healing in the hospital, radical nutrition steps, and quality health care from her caregivers at the Project Rescue Home. Generosity from churches like yours helped purchase antiretroviral medications used to fight her HIV/AIDS infection. And today, Karima's health is doing much better. She's attending college, and she hopes to be a teacher. Project Rescue workers were walking through the red light district in Bombay one morning when they noticed a man standing in front of one of the brothels next to the madam. He was holding a six-month-old baby girl in his arms. As the workers came closer to the conversation, they learned that the man was trying to negotiate a sale price for the baby to the madam. The madam was inspecting the child, and she was haggling with the man over the price, like you would haggle over food in the market. The Project Rescue workers stepped forward and demanded to know where the child came from. The man could not provide a straight answer, and they began to suspect the baby was stolen or taken from another brothel somewhere. So when they kept pressing, the man panicked, and he just thrust the baby into the Project Rescue worker's arms, and he ran off. And the madam casually turned and went back into her brothel. So the Project Rescue workers were left standing there with this six-month-old baby girl, and they took her to the Project Rescue home, and they named her Mohit. Mohit has been in Project Rescue's care since 2001, and she has thrived. She possesses a quiet confidence that she will tell you comes from her relationship with Jesus Christ. Mohit is now working on her college degree in social work. And these two are friends. We got to meet both of them when we were there. These girls proudly showed us their very first baby picture. Pictures not taken by their parents, but taken by the Project Rescue workers on the first day they came to the home. Because of Project Rescue and the hope that is found in Jesus, these girls went from a father who did not want them, a father who didn't even know they existed, a father that they had never met, to the Father who is always present with them. A few more stories. We traveled to several more homes, and they're all incredible places of hope and healing. We met many boys and girls with the same kinds of stories. And we danced and we sang. Well, I didn't dance, but everyone else danced and sang with them everywhere they went. One of the main reasons we went to India was to meet with leaders from the newest Project Rescue site. They're ministering to the Banchada people. The Banchada live in 76 villages in the Indian state of Madhya Pradesh. The Banchada, they belong to the lowest class in Indian society. We don't really have anything to compare here in the States to the caste system, but basically when a child is born, they're born into a caste or a social group. It's a social pyramid with the elites at the top and the untouchables at the bottom, and with few exceptions, you are locked in to your caste for your entire life. The Banchada are the lowest of the low on the bottom of the pyramid. They are extremely poor, and they have a very low literacy rate. And get this, for 500 years, the Banchada people have sold their daughters into sexual slavery. It begins by dedicating their newborn girls to the goddess of prostitution, followed by neighbors and friends actually coming to congratulate them for the future profit that they're going to make by selling their daughter. From the first day of life, all of these girls in this community are just seen as a commodity. Between the ages of 8 and 13, girls are sold to older men to become their wives. A very beautiful girl can be sold for as much as $15,000, the equivalent of 3 years' income. Those who aren't sold as wives are then prostituted by their own families to generate income. The school dropout rate for the Banchada people is 100%. Every Banchada girl is trafficked. The little boys are trained to become pimps and managers of the sex trade. People who want to have sex with children are their target customer base. From all over India, men drive to Madhya Pradesh to have sex with children. It is demented and it is demonic. More than 50% of the population is infected with HIV/AIDS, and with almost no medical care or preventative methods, newborns often inherit the disease. We currently have a project rescue team that has moved into Madhya Pradesh. Called by God, they are determined to stay and make a difference, to point the Banchada people to Jesus and to a new way of life. And in these communities, prostitution, it's not presented as a choice, but it's a mandate. It's a mandate passed down from generation to generation. It's their caste, it's their prison, it's their way of life. Parents literally see no value for education. As girls become prostitutes, boys will become pimps. And as a result, if they go to school at all, the dropout rate is almost 100%. So through our partnership with Project Rescue, the goal is to have a presence in, a transformational presence in all 76 Banchada villages. That's the goal. So Project Rescue is helping out in a variety of ways. We already said relationship building with the families, and then teaching them that there is another way of life, that their children don't have to continue the cycle of prostitution and disease. We're giving them medical treatment for expectant mothers and for children with HIV. We're building schools to provide education for children beyond the fifth grade and an option for them to have a different and better life. And we're building homes to provide safe housing for rescued and abandoned children. We currently have dozens of boys and girls in these homes and over 200 children studying in the Project Rescue schools. We're offering families a new way of life for their children who are being educated and trained to change a culture and break the cycle through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. While in India, we met with this beautiful couple. They're parents of two daughters. Their plan was to sell the oldest and prostitute the young one. When the Project Rescue team began talking and sharing, this couple made the decision to trust their daughters into the Project Rescue team's care. They wept as they shared the story of discovering the love of Jesus and his plan for their daughters, and both girls are now in our school. That was probably one of the most heart-wrenching moments. We sat and we listened to this family talk about their plan and how God stepped in and redeemed. The transformation is real. The transformation of the gospel is real. See, from time to time, you'll hear stories of someone who has escaped from being trafficked. But there's a difference between escape and rescue. See, escape is to get away. Rescue is to be freed or delivered from confinement. Escape is all about my effort. I have a plan. I can do this. I'll figure out a way. I'll fight my way out. I'll force my way out. That's what escape is. But these girls, they can't escape on their own. If they could, they would. They can't escape, but they can be rescued. See, the difference between escape and rescue is that in rescue, someone or something else helps you break free from the trap. Someone with more knowledge, a different way, a different plan, someone with a different perspective. You're saved not by your own power, but by the intervention of someone else. So picture it this way. You're in quicksand. And when you try to struggle to get out of quicksand, what happens? You sink deeper, right? You can't escape. But if I'm standing beside you on dry land, I can reach out a hand and take yours. And because I'm on a firm foundation, I can pull you out. You didn't escape, you were rescued. And that's what Jesus did for you and me, isn't it? Back to Galatians 1:4. Jesus gave his life for our sins just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from the evil world in which we live. So you and I may not be physically enslaved in a brothel, but we were spiritually enslaved to sin. We need a Savior. We all need to be rescued. And we are all called then to be rescued rescuers. As Jesus has rescued us, we must reach out a hand to these girls. It's both physical and spiritual rescue. It's the demonstration and the proclamation of the gospel. We must pull them out of darkness and into the marvelous light. It isn't easy. It's emotionally draining and exhausting. It is not without opposition. Evil men fight and Satan fights. It's physical and spiritual battle. It's not a short-term commitment. When a child is given to Project Rescue or brought by the authorities to one of the homes, we become their family. We pay for their education, clothing, food, and healthcare and housing for life. When they graduate high school, we don't abandon them. We help pay for their college. We pay for their wedding. It's a lifetime commitment. It's not inexpensive. In fact, it's very expensive. But it's worth it. Every girl, every time, every soul, every life. And you know, it's not optional. We do have a biblical mandate as rescued rescuers. Look at Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. It says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." I'm going to close with a powerful challenge from the co-founder of Project Rescue, a brilliant woman named Beth Grant. Beth challenges all of us. If evil people can work together for the purposes of sexual exploitation, why can't good people, God's people, work together to bring hope and freedom? So I'm here today as a friend, a partner, and a donor. I don't want anything from you today. But I would love to do something beautiful with you. My organization, The Stone Table, we've been honored to financially partner with Project Rescue over the past few years, and I think your pastor is going to take up an offering here for Project Rescue in just a few moments, and we want to be the first donors. We're going to put the first $1,000 from our organization into your offering today, and just want to encourage and challenge you. This is a ministry we believe in, and I'm here today because I believe in the work, the Project Rescue. So I hope your heart has been moved as deeply as mine as we embrace the gospel's rescue and resurrection mission to bring hope, healing, and new life to the world. That's what we're about, right, church? So I'm going to turn this service back over to your pastor, but I want to show you one more powerful video in closing of how God is using Project Rescue to redeem so many around the world. Watch the screen.
The Lord led me to the red light district of Mumbai. There I saw a lot of children in the street. Two of the girls said to me, "Take us all out of this hell, otherwise we will all end up like our mothers." Well, you know, I seen like my own daughters there. I said, "What do you do when you meet, when you somebody take your daughters
and you don't wait for United Nations or others. It wasn't just rescue, it's not that, just go and rescue them. You ought to earn their trust because their own family members or whom they trusted betrayed them. And one particular girl told me, they said, every time I would see you in the red light street walking, I used to hate you. When I see a man walking there, I want to go behind that man and want to knife them. I didn't like what they did to my mother. She said, I watched you very carefully then. And she said, one day I looked at your eyes. Something my heart touched, like my father. You're going to some kind of, dungeon, really dark place. That's where I saw Sumi under the, bed. The Sumi was like that, just scared and lying, up naked there. I said, she doesn't have anybody. I have a home, I can take her to. I remember taking Sumi from that place, carrying her to my jeep, and she said, the house is moving. She said, the house is moving. So she lived most of her life in that dark room. They were all born in brothel, Sony, Sumi, Priya, and Pinky. So when we got them, all of them very small age.
I'm blessed to have a good father like uncle. When he brought me here, I was such an innocent girl. But because of him, I have built that confidence in my life. He always makes sure that he can give us that love. And today, we don't miss that love of father. Today, he has completed me with the love of father. So I'm blessed with him. Whatever I am today, it's all because of this Project Rescue. Whatever I needed, they have provided me everything. They are helping me to pursue my dreams. And it gave me hope for a bright future.
And all of them graduated. Priya, she's doing a second year MBA. Sony, she finished her graduation and she's doing a master in arts. Pinky's also graduated and she's working also in a company. And Sumi graduated and she's working as an executive in a company. And their heart is what we have taught them. Not only they got it, rescue them, save them from these places, not only for their own life, but through them God wants to save many, many others. And all I can say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done.